everyone. We got a lot to get into. Shout out to Alicia. If it weren't for Alicia, I wouldn't have watched Perfect Match, and I loved it. And I do not feel compelled to go back and watch season one. Season two was giving. Season two was damn near perfect reality TV. So shout out to producers, shout out to the casting directors, and shout out to the cast, in particular, Harry Jousy. You need to cast this man on everything. I really want to see him on Traitors. Like, what do I have to do to get Harry Jousy on Traitors? He is a liar. He is a gaslighter. He is a master manipulator. I need him to be on the Traitors. He's so perfect for it. And I also wouldn't mind seeing him on House of Villains. Keep this man employed because he knows how to entertain. And he is so naturally funny. Like, Harry is not trying to be funny, he's just funny. So, I have been enjoying the shit out of this season. I binged it in 2 days. I think it was two. Yeah, it was 2 days. And on the second day, I was out and about. I had a lot of things to do, and I was thinking about the show the whole time. I was like, I can't wait to get home to watch episode 7, 8, and 9. And I probably am gonna stay up when the finale drops. Like, I am locked in to Perfect Match. So if you haven't seen it already, I don't know what you're doing with your life. Get on it, okay? So with Perfect Match, basically it's five men, five women. You have to get matched up or you get sent home. That's the way that I'm going to explain the game because I have so much to get into. I don't want to go through A through Z about how it works. When you watch it, you understand. So we have Brighton, and I'm gonna be going in the order of my notes. We have Brighton, who talks about himself in the third person. He was on Squid Game. I didn't watch Squid Game, but I've been curious, and I think I definitely should check it out. Or Squid Game, I don't know. Clearly, I haven't watched the damn show. But anyways, the man is wearing lip gloss, and he also like purses his lips a lot. And I don't understand why some women find this man attractive. He is good looking, but I think that some women, particularly Elise, because I can't think, there was Dominique, there's Elise, and then I think what Micah was talking to him, whatever. Some of these white women, I think they're fetishizing a Drake. They're fetishizing a biracial man, you know, half black, half white, caramel skin, curly hair. You know, Drake, complexion wise, is basically a white man. We know this. Features wise, those nose, those lips, those are black features. But complexion wise, he's on the fair skin side. Then his son is straight up Caucasian. And so I don't know what it is where I think some women, they just see a biracial man and they're like, I'm getting the best of both worlds. I'm getting a little like flavor from the African American side, but then I'm getting the whiteness from the white side. I'm getting, you know, some features that might be white and a lighter skin tone and a curly hair or afro or whatever. Like it has to be, and I don't know this, right? Clearly, I'm speculating. There has to be some type of fetish for a Drake type of guy for somebody to look at Brighton and be like, he's hot. Because he's not. Like, he's just not. He's a good looking guy, but he doesn't have a good personality. And it's not like he dresses good. It's not like he's got charisma. It's not like he's funny. It's not like he's smart. So it has to just be this like fetish slash bucket list thing with some of these women, but it's like I don't have that fetish where I'm like, oh my gosh, he's biracial. I want to hit that. It's weird. It's really weird. So Brighton is talking in the first person, or sorry, third person about himself, and that's when you know that he's there for the cameras. Since when have you talked about yourself in the third person? You don't got to talk about yourself in the third person when at the bottom of the screen it has your name, right? It's unnecessary. We don't need it. But it's like when you're trying to like sell yourself and prove a point and stand out among the cast, you're like gonna do that. You're gonna talk about yourself in third person. He has this lip gloss on that's very distracting. I don't even stay on lip gloss. I don't even use lip gloss. I just let my lips get chapped. Chapped and flaking and bleeding. My big old lips. Like, I don't even use lip gloss like that. Like, Brian needs to give me his skincare, his beauty routine, his makeup suggestions, his, self-care and lip gloss recs. Anyways, so when they all walk in, just at the very, very beginning of the episode, Brighton wasn't very nice to Tolu when she said that she's from Houston. Again, proving my point that there ain't nothing special about Brighton. Not the looks, not the style, not the personality, jokes, intellect. It's not really there. So then Micah from Love is Blind season five or four? I think it was four. Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, let me think. Let me think. It was season four. Yes, because season five was last year with Izzy and shit. Or it was Izzy season, and then last season was kind of a shit show, right? We only had one couple. So, anyways, so Micah goes, I'm cute, I'm nice, and I have a big butt. You do not. Let me start at the beginning of the, sorry, the end of the sentence. You don't have a big butt, you are not nice, and you are not cute. I think Micah said this so that she could become a meme. I think Micah intentionally said this so that she could be trending on Twitter and on TikTok and on all the platforms, YouTube, whatever. Micah, I think, always wants, she desperately wants to be famous. She wants to be a professional reality TV star. And so she knew. For her to be a white woman who does not have a big butt, but is claiming to have a big butt, that everybody's gonna have something to say about it. I see right through you, Micah. If your butt is so big, why didn't you talk about that on Love is Blind? Is that all you're bringing to the table? Is these premeditated lines? Are you trying to be like a Jessica with an EpiPen sh line? Get the fuck out of here, please. Like, you're not cute. And here's the thing. She's attractive, okay? But there's too much confidence in saying you're cute, you're nice, and you have a big butt when all three of those things are not true. So, as far as like her saying I'm cute, I have an issue with people telling me how I'm supposed to view them physically. I don't want you to tell me that you're cute, that you're sexy, that you're handsome. I want to draw those conclusions on my own because all of those statements and assessments and opinions, those are all, it's way too subjective for you to be forcing that on to me. As a viewer, I need to be able to look at you and think you're cute. You shouldn't tell me that because that's ridiculous. Like, that's not how attraction works. So I just don't like it. Like one of my, I had a friend and she used to be like, I have good hair, I have great hair, I have really good hair. The bitch doesn't have good hair. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like I could see with my own two eyes that her shit is thin. I could practically see through it. It don't got volume, it don't got body. Why are you telling me that you have great hair? Like, don't tell me what to think about how you look. I could come to my own conclusions, especially again when it's so subjective, which brings me to the whole big butt thing. You know, you don't got a big butt, Micah. Again, you were trolling. You did this on purpose to become a meme. I don't trust Micah. I've seen her now on two shows and she shows no vulnerability. I think she's just really there for the cameras. She tried, like, it's just. Who is like, will the real Micah please stand up? We don't know who Micah is, other than the drunken idiot on Love is Blind, and now the girl who is just clinging to one man in the house. That's all I know of Micah. And somebody who can't stand AC. So anyways, so Harry Jowsey says that three of his ex-girlfriends were on Perfect Match season one. And he also says, don't let your girlfriend stop you from finding your wife. I'm sorry, that is genius. I like Harry. I'm entertained by him. I think he is a raging a-hole, F-boy, possible sex addict, possible love addict. But I want to party with him because I just think he would make me laugh my ass off, and hopefully it would be mutual. He's a good time. He is good reality TV. So while I was prepping to do this episode, I listened to a few podcasts, and I'm sorry, like, that we're talking about this, and they did not do a good job. And I guess I didn't listen to the right podcast, and I guess I didn't listen long enough. But some of the YouTubes did, because I also like YouTubers. But some, like one of them, the YouTubers I sometimes watch, he was boring. Anyways, so somebody, a popular podcast, had the audacity to say that Micah is good reality TV, and that at that point I shut off the podcast. Like, it was curtains for me because Micah brings nothing to the table whatsoever. So I don't know how that would make her a good reality TV star, whereas Harry brings everything to the table. He brings the jokes, he brings the laughing, he brings the gaslighting, right? He brings the whore who can't keep his hands off of people. He brings the manipulation, and he also brings the emotion. He isn't afraid to cry. So, I mean, that's what you want a reality TV star. You want range. Micah has none. So Harry says that he's been to therapy, and doesn't this feel like virtue signaling? I know I'm using it wrong, but I don't care. I feel like this, I need to insert that term right here. Like, Harry is saying that he's been to therapy to try to, like, repair his public image. How about instead of telling us about your growth, you show it to us? That would be a better strategy. So, moving right along, we got Steven and Steven Mash. Steven called Micah a fun sponge. Okay. He said, Micah is somebody who soaks up all the fun and makes everything boring. I hadn't heard of fun sponge. And you know what? Should I do it, y'all? Should I? Let me see. So, I feel like maybe it has been around and I just didn't know. So, let me look. Okay, cool. So yes, fun sponge is a term. I hadn't heard of it. I like the whole wet blanket insult, but yes, Micah Steven says Micah is a fun sponge. Of course she is. Micah, honestly, she's never like looking happy and upbeat and laughing and joking. She's had her moments, but like she's usually laughing at somebody else's jokes. Like, I can't with Micah. Like, woo. Okay, because she was just so mean to Izzy. It's like, Micah, like, you're not better than Izzy. I mean, slightly, you're more confident, but outside of that, you're not better than Izzy. And I know you probably have plates and cups, and you're not in an Airbnb. But outside of that, like, you were on the same reality show. Relax, bitch. So then Brighton asks Dominique, these are my notes. I'm not doing a rundown of a play by play. Y'all should have watched the show. So Brighton asks Dominique, what you want? And Dominique says, what do you want to give me? And Brighton goes, I said, what you want? And Dominique goes, a lemon drop. And Brighton goes, I'm not a bartender. And Dominique goes, that's one of the sexiest professions there is. Okay, full stop. I just talked about Micah being a fun sponge. Guess who trumps Micah in the fun sponge department? Miss Dominique. Dominique is so miserable. Like, just her energy. I'm not saying she is, but her energy. She's not right for this show. She's not right for the house because I think she's just not comfortable being in the perfect match environment. Maybe she was killing it on Too Hot to Handle. I guess she was on that show, but a perfect match, absolutely not. She just doesn't know how to go with the flow at all. She's quick to pick a fight. She's bitchy. She's nagging. So if somebody asks you, what do you want to drink? Why are you telling them a lemon drop? Like, why are you mentioning a drink that they have to have skills for, like bartender skills for? And then why are you saying that's one of the sexiest professions there is? As in, like, that's already a combative comment. If somebody says, I'm not a bartender, and you're like, that's one of the sexiest professions, like, bitch, shut up. He's not a bartender. So who cares what you think about the profession? That's not his profession. Shut up or get behind the counter and make your own lemon drop. Like, she already, just from the jump, she was ready to be defensive and combative and annoying just off of that early interaction. So then they have a compatibility challenge where they roll the dice and Stevan sucks Xanthi's toe. Stevan and his foot fetish. I would love to understand this. I really would. I don't really care to do research. Maybe at some time I will. What is it with guys and toes and feet and like I know that some people are fully committed to that fetish and I don't understand it. But I respect it. I've never met anybody who really wanted to suck my toes. I've only had people be interested in massaging my feet and playing with them a bit. But I haven't met anybody who wants to like suck the toes down. And I wouldn't say no. I would never ever say no because it's too funny to me. I would just be like way too amused. So Dominique says that the Brighton's crochet shirt is slutty and so she likes him. What a good reason, right? Like these are my notes. So Dominique asks Brighton at the rolling of the dice compatibility challenge, what is your favorite sex position? Okay, full stop. I really dislike how on this season of Perfect Match, they ask, or Dominique asks Brighton what's his favorite sex position, and then Stevan later is asked to actually show, have simulated or simulate his favorite sex positions. I dislike this. I dislike everything about this. These questions I don't feel should be asked in a group setting, putting somebody on the spot that much, making them think as rapidly as they can, like, okay, what can I say? What can I say that's not offensive, that's dirty, that's fun, that's sexy? Like, they might be pandering to the audience that's watching the show, and they might be pandering to the people in the crowd, and it's too personal of a question every single time. Because there was this one podcast, and it had a female host, and she was only interviewing females. And she asked everybody, what is your favorite sex position? And I'm like, do we have to do this? Do we have to do this? Because it's like that varies from person to person. And I don't like nothing about it. Nothing. And I like that Brighton didn't say anything too crazy. He basically said, like, flexible missionary, you know, legs up. I'm like, okay, like, because he didn't know what to, I guess, whatever. That's too much. That's too much. So I'm glad he just kept it basic, his answer. And Harry was like, whoa, when she asked that question. And then Dominique asks Brighton if he likes dirty talk, or if he does dirty talk. And then Harry seems genuinely annoyed, which I'm team Harry. And Harry goes, well, how many questions are you going to ask? Like, you already asked a question. So thank you, Harry. Like, F Dominique. I'm sorry. I don't need to see her on my TV again. I just don't find her palatable at all. So Harry says, quote, the first thing I want to walk away with from Perfect Match is no STDs. The second thing is someone I can get wrinkles with. Well, I probably won't get wrinkles because I get Botox, end quote. Okay. Now, on one episode, like three some odd episodes ago, I said homeless and I said unhoused. Then I said, you know, homeless, unhoused means the same thing. So I understand the power of language. I fully understand it. However, We now call sexually transmitted diseases sexually transmitted infections. Here's the thing. If I were to tell a potential partner or a partner that I have certain STIs, they wouldn't give a damn if I said STI or STD. So that is my issue with the over-policing and the PC-centric language, really safe language that we gotta use today for certain things. You could call STIs roses. If I gotta tell a partner that I went to the doctor and he told me that I have an incurable rose, I don't think he gives a fuck that I called it a rose. So I like that Harry said STDs. He kept it old school and said STDs instead of STIs because this whole like rewording shit, like with when things have the same meaning, does nothing. I don't think it accomplishes what some people are trying to pretend that it accomplishes, especially when it comes to something like an incurable, I'll say STI, if I'm supposed to say STI instead of STD. Or a fatal STI instead of an STD. It's like, okay, I guess. So, anyways, with Harry Jowsey, I was doing a little research this morning on the talk, TikTok. And I feel that, and I actually watched Harry on Call Her Daddy. He was on there like 3 times, and I watched his like second appearance on the Call Her Daddy podcast. And he was saying how he wants to find someone to settle down with. And here's the thing: is Harry a hoe? Absolutely. 100%. Of course. Yes. However, I always thought that Harry was British. Harry is not British, bitches. Harry is Australian. And that is how similar sounding the Australian accent is to the English slash British accent. It is so annoying how they are so incredibly similar that I always thought that Harry was British. Harry is Australian, y'all. And I know this because he said slang. I saw him, he used a slang term that I found out was slang by Googling it. And then I was like, when I Googled his name and shit, it said that he was Australian. I was like, oh, get the fuck out of here. I was like, no, I was telling somebody that I found out what his British slang was because I Googled what Harry said and Harry's British. And then I Googled his name and I was like, are you effing serious? Okay, Harry is Australian. And as soon as you like hear that, I say that, if you watch how he talks, you will hear that that is Australian. It is not British. You will hear the difference in the accent. So, Harry is Australian. And Australians highly, highly, highly value settling down, getting married, and having kids. That is the culture, period. That is a huge goal of theirs. And so, if you keep in mind that he comes from a culture where the goal and the priority is to get married and have kids, it makes me believe that Harry genuinely does want to settle down. That doesn't mean he's going to be faithful. It doesn't mean he's not a whore. However, I do think he grew up believing that getting married and having kids is a pinnacle of success. And so he wants that for himself, genuinely. Whether he is like dipping, like doing things on the side or not, I do believe that that is what Harry wants. And I forgot to say it like a minute ago. Another piece of evidence that proves that Harry is Australian is when they do the truth challenge as a compatibility challenge. Harry said, quote, back in Australia, this man wanted to pay me $40,000 to have sex with his girlfriend or his wife. Can't remember if his girlfriend or wife. He said, quote, back in Australia. He didn't say back home, but he said back in Australia. Like when I was back in my hometown of Australia. That's basically what he was saying. So I rest my case. I rest my case with explaining where he's from, but And now you'll pick up on his accent sounding Australian, but my point is, his culture does, they do want to settle down. So I do believe that that's what Harry wants. I think Harry does should not be wifed up for at least another 10 to 15 years. But considering how badly he wants it to happen, I wouldn't be surprised if it happens within the next 4 years. Because he seems to, I think Harry has really, really, really been in these streets. And a lot of times, people who really have slept with everybody, they do grow weary of that lifestyle. So I think Harry, he has it in him a little bit to be ready to put the lifestyle away for, someone that he's really into. So Kaz tells Micah, or Kaz tells everybody, I've made 90% of girls I've been with squirt. Okay, full stop. Kaz is one of the sexiest men I've ever laid eyes on. Point blank, period. At the same time, we cannot talk about Harry being for the streets without us talking about Kaz being for the streets. Kaz is here wanting to talk to every girl, let everybody know that he makes people squirt. He is the one who asked Stevan to show them his favorite sex positions. Kaz ain't playing no games. And when you look like Kaz, I don't really think anybody's saying no to you. I don't think anybody's like, no, I don't want to fuck you. I think everybody's like, when, where, right now, I'm ready. This man, like, I thought Brett from Love is Blind was cute. And then Kaz came around and I said, oh, honey, I gotta move. I'm going to London town. Like, and I know Kaz wants a white bitch, like a white girl. Sorry. I know he wants a white girl, but I don't care. I'll be like, you know what, baby? I'm gonna get you your American passport. That's my bargaining chip. So anyways, and then Harry goes, if that's true, make someone squirt right now, which is so funny. Like, yes, Harry's like, let's turn this into a porno. Like, okay. So Izzy says that he could definitely feel the age gap and that he's 5'10" on a good day. It is never good. So the same way it's I don't like it. I find it really cringe, corny, stupid to tell people that you're attractive. I also don't think it's a good idea to just be upfront with your insecurities. Like, Izzy was not in a group of 23-year-olds. Like, Chris was 30, and it just basically he wasn't in a group of 23-year-olds. And I do understand the men were taller than him, but I also believe that when you're a man who is not tall, like you need to, it shouldn't be shocking to you if you're around men who are taller than you. Like you should be used to that. And if you don't like it, you shouldn't, like, shut up, baby. Like it wasn't a good look. Like Izzy, this Perfect Match 2 was the downfall of Izzy. Like straight up, it was the downfall of Izzy. I found Izzy attractive on Love is Blind, and then he just erased all of that for me. I do not like him thinner. I like him more on the meathead side. I like him thicker, like he was on Love is Blind. He lost weight since the series, but I didn't know the man was this corny. And I don't think any of us, Izzy never came across as corny on Love is Blind. He never came across as insecure and awkward. And he just got, I don't know, it's like him getting. Hearing a no at the altar, it just like changed who he is as a person. He's just like so insecure and it's uncomfortable to watch. Like, it's not enjoyable. I mean, like, you see him on Love is Blind and you think, okay, he's sexy. And Micah keeps, not Micah, but Stacy kept saying he has a big dick. So I'm like, where's the big dick energy, Izzy? If you really got a big dick, why are you acting like you got a baby carrot? I don't know. Izzy was like very bad TV on this show. And I thought he was okay reality TV on Love is Blind, but I had no idea the man was this uncertain of himself. So then Kaz gives Tolu a lap dance and he basically puts his dick in her face. And, he gives a lap dance way too well. Like I said, Kaz is for the streets, y'all. Like, Kaz is really for the streets.
I mean, I can't even imagine how many women he's taken down. I don't even want to know. But all them bitches are probably watching the show and probably like very upset, booking therapy appointments, like he a hoe. So Izzy says that, tells Micah that he follows her on TikTok and he says how she's like funny as shit or so funny. And he asks her if she has a dog. He already knew she had a dog. So do you see the problem with this? If you're following me on TikTok and I'm posting videos of my dog, why are you asking me if I have a dog when you know I have a dog? And that's a question that you ask a dog owner. How did he get so bad at flirting? And then Mike is like, well, what's your game? And then Izzy goes, how are you? Izzy came off as such an incel in this damn show. Like, I don't, like, okay. Like, Izzy is too attractive to be this insecure. It's gross. So Izzy then spills his drink on himself while he spills it or sips it. And then Micah says that Izzy is nerdy and that he reminds her of Paul and that isn't the direction that she's going in. And Harry tells Elise, I want to have blue-eyed kids. Full stop. This comment is honest. I do believe, generally speaking, that people want to be able to see themselves in the features of their children. That's understandable. That's human nature. That's basic logic. Okay? However, it doesn't sound good to say this simply because people have been murdered for not having blue eyes. That is what Hitler was all about. White supremacists are always talking about that shit. They're always talking about blue eyes. They're always talking about blonde hair. They're always talking about, can't remember the term for it, but man, I wanna, what's the word? Let me see this. Hold on one second, and I don't wanna, there's a word for it. For like, let me see. It's on the tip. Don't you hate it when people have something on the tip of their tongue? Can't remember it, but of course I type it in and I cannot find it. Aryan, there you go. There you go. Thank you, Google. So white supremacists are always on their Aryan promotion shit, right? So when you say that you want to have blue-eyed kids, you sound like a bigot. In the same way how I always check everybody who says that they like blonde hair and blue eyes, I let them know why they sound completely effing ridiculous. So I also have a problem with Harry saying this because he likes to date dark-haired, dark-eyed bitches. So shut the fuck up, Harry. Like, seriously, pick a side. Do you want your blonde-haired, blue-eyed baby or your blue-eyed baby, or do you want a dark-haired, dark-eyed baby? So we don't really, I don't know. There was just something like, I don't know. There's something about him saying this that is like very uncomfortable because of the history of white supremacy, white supremacists, their obsession with Aryan features. Get the fuck out of here, Harry, or just marry your blonde haired, blue eyed bitch, but you don't got to be talking about it like it's a superior thing. Because that's the automatic connotation that comes to mind. If you're talking about blue eyes, you're making blue eyes sound superior just by you mentioning it as though that it's this aspirational positive thing. So, anyway, so Kaz turns down Micah when she asks him to match with her. He tells her that he's going to talk to other contest like to the other girls and come back to Micah if he doesn't get a match. Woo, the way. Let me tell you, the way how on this show you see the women and the men just straight curving, just curving a bitch. Curving a man. I'm like, I didn't know everybody had it in them like this. Like, I didn't know that both Kaz and Micah will just be 1 foot away from you, looking you dead in the eyes, like, I don't want you. Next. Like, seamless. They do it so seamlessly, so effortlessly. So then we have our matches, which I don't really think I need to mention, especially because some of those got switched up. But anyways, Brighton tells Dominique that yoga is not working out. And he asks Dominique, do you see bodybuilders doing yoga? And they are yelling about this and arguing about this late at night. Okay. Brighton. Okay, Brighton is great reality TV. I love an ignorant person who is very strong in their beliefs. That person makes for good reality TV because you're like, oh, I didn't know stupidity could be so bold. Like, I didn't know that, like, ignorance, it should be, like, displayed as a virtue. I think that Brighton is way too old to make a statement like this. I also believe that Brighton's barometer for what is working out slash exercise, I don't think it should be what bodybuilders do. It shouldn't be what people who do this for a profession do. I did not know anybody could consider yoga not being a workout when everybody knows yoga sculpts the body. That's why anybody who does yoga has the best body. Period. Period. I'm talking about the women. Men do it too. Besides it making somebody flexible, like you are just sculpted and looking so good. It sculpts your arms, it sculpts your legs, it sculpts your waist, it sculpts your ass. Really? That's not a workout? The results of yoga don't let Brighton know that that shit is a workout? Okay, I guess. Brighton's so dumb. So, and I don't like Dominique arguing with him about this because I think if somebody said that to me, I'd be like, you're done. Like, you're too dumb. I can't engage. You know, but Dominique, she's just like very eager to brawl. So then Harry and Elise, they have a date, and Elise voices her concerns about Harry being trustworthy. And okay, so Elise, I like her. People seem to like her. I don't understand her though. If you know that Harry is a player, I don't really understand why Elise was so up in arms about everything that went down with Harry. If she knows that he's a player, like she was acting surprised, and I need to know why. And she was devastated, and I need to know why, because he's not a prize. Moving right along, Izzy says that he feels pretty confident with Tulu. So, Izzy has said on multiple occasions that he likes blonde hair and blue eyes, which is very disgusting, and part of why Harry's statement about wanting blue-eyed kids is so problematic. So, Izzy literally matched with a woman who does not have blonde hair, does not have blue eyes. Here's the thing. I wish that Tolu had watched the watch Love is Blind, and I wish that she'd watched Perfect Match with Dom. Because I think she was like way too optimistic about who might like her and who might not like her. And Tolu, some people are saying she's so beautiful, she's gorgeous, she's the most beautiful woman. Tolu doesn't do it for me. But even if she did, I would recognize that to be a woman, a bald-headed woman who is like really on the thin side, race excluded, you're not going to be everyone's type. Just to be a thin, bald woman, you are not going to check the boxes for a lot of people, male or female. So I just felt that Tolu wasn't really keeping in mind how much some men might not be attracted to her. But I'm glad she didn't want to be with Izzy real fast. And Izzy clearly, like, I think his reality TV career needs to be over because he's not bringing anything but insecurity and bullshit to the table. And he talks like he's congested and his veneers or whatever that is, they're way too white. And he's annoying. He wants to be white and he wants to be with a white woman, and the man is Mexican and he needs to get the fuck out of here. So, that is what I have to say about episode one. Love y'all. Now I'm gonna record. for episode 2.